Test. So we are going to work our way through this because we are in the right time, at the right place, with the right people. And do we have, I don't know if we have any birthday or anniversary announcements? I guess not. So Carolyn will lead us. Oh, there we go. So, you got Haley, Jeff, and Jamie, and Sharon, July 3rd, today. Yeah. And Sue and Stacy, Vinnie Posey, Keith Kimball, and Sydney Graves. So if you see any of those people, wish them a happy birthday. And Denver and Sharon Wasson, and Ken and Mary Newen, happy anniversary. And Carolyn will lead us in worship.
Please stand as you're able for the opening prayer. Loving God, your gift of abundant life is like a basket of summer fruit, a delight to the eye and a pleasure to the tongue. Your presence in our lives is like a green olive tree, a joy in the heart, and a blessing in the spirit. Speak to us your words of life, that we may sit at your feet and know that we are yours. Amen. And for 4th of July, we'll sing America the Beautiful.
Please be seated. One of the joys of worship is, as we gather in community, is the ability to pray as the community. Please assume an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to freely gather to worship you in a true sense of community. We are grateful for all the opportunities you provide us with and the abundance that you provide them in. Today, the day we celebrate our country's independence, we are thankful for the freedoms and rights that we have. We are particularly divided on so many fronts these days. Help us to remember as Christians, we have more in common in our unity of faith than in our different opinions. Help us to embrace our common goals and grant us patience, compassion, and love for those who hold different ideas or belief. Remind us to encourage and build up with our words all that we encounter. We pray for the leaders of our country and all others that they find guidance through you to resolve our difference and violent conflicts. Be with all people who suffer oppression, violence, and the consequences of natural disaster. We lift up members of our congregation and all others who suffer from disease and illness, those who feel alone and abandoned, and those that struggle with other problems, both spoken and unspoken. We lift up Pastor Paul for his speedy recovery. And we ask for prayers and your healing touch for Fred Rodekamp, who's in the hospital at Madison with IVIG therapy for mobility issues. All these things we ask in your name as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day and forgive us as best. We forgive those trespasses. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please join in our hymn, How Firm a Foundation, number 529, verses 1 and 3.
The scripture this morning comes from two places, Colossians and James. First, Colossians 3:8-9a and 12-15b. But now you must get rid of all such things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practice. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And James 1:19, you must understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Pastor Paul has started a series of sermons on the power of words. I've worked off of Paul's notes to keep some continuity with this, and I hope I hit his big points. Today we continue that by focusing our attention on the power of words in family. I trust God will speak to you at some point during the message as you are paying attention and listening. You had a Bible verse card in your bulletin 2 weeks ago. It's supposed to be in there. It's not. But in case your dog ate it or you've lost it, I'm sure we can get another one from the office later. We were going to do this as a response, but I'm going to read it. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. We're going to ponder this verse as it relates to our family, our relationship with our parents, children, siblings, spouse, or any other sort of relationship. Whether you are married or not, you have a familial relationship which somehow relates to all these relationships. Apostle Paul says, let no evil talk. What do we mean by evil? In the English translation of this verse, we have evil talk, but actually, in the original version of the Bible, the vocabulary that Paul chooses in this verse is sephro. It means a sort of food which is spoiled, gone bad, or is rotten. We've all had experiences with spoiled food. It's that little bit that's left over after dinner, usually dessert, that we can't bear to throw out. Carefully wrap it up and hide it in the refrigerator so we can have it later. In reality, we're going to forget about it. It'll remain hidden until the bacteria takes over and it starts to get that interesting appearance. We still haven't found it, but soon that unmistakable aroma of spoiled food starts to permeate the refrigerator, and the odor persists long after we remove it. Bad things tend to linger. So when Paul says, let no evil, sapros, talk, it simply means don't make other people sick because of what we are saying. It could be that we cause someone a restless night of sleep because of what we intentionally or sometimes unintentionally said. Then what might it look like when it comes to the words we use that make someone else's soul sick? Pastor Paul tells a story of a time he visited one of the youths in his congregation. He was a nice boy. He had many good friends in school. He knocked on the door, and the boy answered the door. They had a chance to talk, and his parents were in another room. His dad suddenly called to him, "Hey, dummy, get in here. Bring the snack to the pastor." I watched the boy's eyes look at the floor. Then I watched him get up, sort of defeated and embarrassed by what his father had just called him. His dad was giggling as the boy approached him. The father thought his pet name for his son, Dummy, was funny or cute. But the boy believed he was stupid and couldn't accomplish anything because his dad had called him by his pet name, Dummy, day after day. That's what evil talk looks like when it comes out of our mouths in our family system. Are we using words to our family, spouses, and children which build up and encourage or tear down and destroy? We have the scripture reading today from Colossians. Paul had never been to Colossae. I told you before that Paul was a pastor of the church in Ephesus for 25 months. During that time, some people from Colossae heard him preaching in Ephesus, and they started a church in Colossae when they returned home. He probably understood the issues that Colossae church had. Among the problems, there was a language issue that they were using for each other. Now, Paul is writing a letter to the church in Colossae because they were using words that hurt one another. He says, "Now you must get rid of all such things as anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth." You got to look at this. Paul is writing a letter to Christians. Why did he write these words to Christians? They had become Christians, Jesus followers, but they still spoke in anger sometimes to one another. You know, the kind of language isn't fitting to who we are as a people of faith, and it certainly harms the people around us. Then how can we love our neighbors as we love ourselves when we are hurting other people with what we are saying? By the way, I'd like to point out there's nothing in this sermon that we don't all know. So many times we don't need information. We need a little reminder to practice the stuff that we already know. The scripture is here to help us remember what we should already know and help us to practice. Apostle Paul is telling them that the words like dummy or the words that are embarrassing our spouse or our children have no place in Christian life in our conversations. As we think about this, I want to move from harsher things to more ordinary things, because most of us don't use horrible or terrible language to describe our family. What we frequently do is withhold the kind of positive words we are meant to give. Paul says, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouth." Then he goes on to say, "Only what is useful. So allow the words which came out of our mouth to be those useful for building up as there is need, so that our words might give grace to those who hear." When I think about this idea of grace, it is about our blessings on somebody else, whether they deserve it or not, whether they owe you or not. Our intention is to come out of love, seeking to build somebody else up to encourage them. Then you bring words to life. You bring your words to life. Your words bring hope. Your words bring love. It is like the water for life. Some of you were raised in a house filled with positive and encouraging words, which built you up. Some of you probably had a family with fewer of those. As we grow up, we find some place for positive words to build us up. But I've known people who spent their entire lives trying to get people to love them. They did so many things to get loved. Everything they did was trying to get people to say affirming things to them because they never had them, or not frequently enough, as they were growing up in their homes. There's a story of a woman in an abusive relationship for years. She said, "It wasn't his words that were hurtful. Those came regularly, though. The biggest thing that caused me such pain and finally let me to leave was the absence of kindness, the absence of charity, the absence of grace, and encouraging words that made me feel special and loved. The absence of these things combined with the occasional hurtful words made me feel very small." We have a lot of teachers and parents in this congregation, all who delight in raising and dealing with children. They frequently see children who are starving for that basic one-on-one connection with their parents or teachers. Children thrive on eye contact, a simple touch or hug, that simple word of encouragement saying, "Good job, you did it," or "I am blessed to be your parent or teacher." Hurtful words can leave a scar, but no words of encouragement can do as much damage. Noticing, commenting, positive words, and praise can build a lifetime of self-esteem and confidence. This helps them to learn to love themselves and others. This building up encouraging is not only for children. We as adults need this too. While we all need to work on positive words of encouragement and love, we also need to remember that there are two participants in a conversation. How we listen to another person can be as meaningful as what we and how we say it. A long time ago, someone told me that a meaningful conversation was not waiting for a pause or a lull in the dialogue to forcefully interject my views. I try to remember that, and I do frequently fail at that. Listening, truly listening, needs to be an act of compassion. I'd like to challenge you in times of stress to try to listen compassionately to your coworker, your child, your spouse, your sibling, anybody that you deal with. Listen to their story, try to view their side, their reality, and try to respond with those words of encouragement. As I wrap this up, I would like to go directly to Pastor Paul's text and give you his words of encouragement and love. This is from Pastor Paul. "I am so blessed to be a pastor of this beautiful and vibrant church. You guys are awesome. You love one another and build up one another. You are passionate about doing God's works and trying to stretch the circle of your lives. You always make me proud of who we are in our worship and ministry. I mean it. Let's practice it and cultivate the culture of building up one another. Why don't you look at each other and see their needs and practice some good and positive encouragement? As we think about this, it's not just about husband and wife. It's not about your children. Every member of your family and your neighbors need this. They may not be perfect. Of course, no one is perfect. They need your blessing words to build them up." And you know what? Part of the Christian faith, I think, even if we didn't have enough from our parents and siblings in our home, there is a God who knows us by our name and who loves us, and God's words of love to us can fill us up and change our lives and make us healthy in our faith journey. Let's remember that we play this role in how we choose to bless and offer these kinds of encouragement to others. Who do you need to bless this week with your words? I would like you to think about the Bible verse, Ephesians 4:29. "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear." Amen. Normally at this time we would do communion, but Pastor Paul was not available to consecrate the elements. But I would like you to think about the whole act of communion. Think about the sacrifice and the great gift that it was during the week. Just give it some thought. One of the benefits of joining in worship is we get to share many of the things that are given to us. We are all given different talents, so we give back the first of our time, our talents, and our gifts.
Let us pray the prayer of dedication. Loving God, you fill our lives to overflowing like baskets of summer fruit. May the offering we return to you this day show our gratitude for your many blessings. and our commitment to love our neighbors as you have loved us. Through your goodness and the sharing of these gifts, may all come to know the richness of your love. Amen. And now we will sing, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. First one.
Please remain standing for the benediction. As we leave this place, go with the confidence that you are never alone. The Holy Spirit is always there encouraging you and building you up. In belief and gratitude for this, strive to do the same. We are all created in God's image. Pray for the strength and love to treat all people with fairness and justice. Build them up, encourage them in word and action. May the Spirit and grace of our Lord go with you today, tomorrow, and always. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.